White Sox Weekly at 720 WGN. Special guest going to be in the booth tomorrow, Harry Tynowitz with Hawk Harrelson. Matt Vasgersian is coming over to hang with Hawk on one of his final Sundays in his final year, and he joins us now on 720 WGN. Matt, are you going to give Hawk a hug tomorrow? I mean, is this going to be emotional for you? Talk about your, you know, a day away. How are you feeling about this?
Well, you know, I've already had this earmarked after getting it confirmed as what will be the best day of the season for me, because wow. Huge fan. I mean, just to sit there and be able to dish the dirt with Hawk for the first part of the game, I was so happy to be invited and that the schedules worked out. And there's nothing that's going to happen this year that's going to be any better than that for me, including, I don't know, the wild card game, whatever else ESPN has in store. We've got the big game at the Little League World Series next week, and none of that's all going to pale in comparison. I can't wait to just hang with Hawk for a little bit.
So the way it turned out, the Cubs are playing the Nationals on Sunday Night Baseball, and I should have said at the start, of course, you hear Matt on doing Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, so you're in town. What a day for you. I mean, that's like a broadcaster dream on some level, right?
It is. I mean, to get both teams in Chicago on the same day under entirely different circumstances. The opener of my doubleheader is going to be more of a celebration of a guy's career that I have been a huge fan of for most of my adult life, despite the fact that I'm not a Chicagoan. And then, you know, we'll ship across town and go to the place that the aforementioned despises to do the job that I'm paid to do that night, which will be great.
Now, Matt, we had Danny Plesac on with us last Saturday, and you mentioned Hawk Harrelson to Plesac, and he just turns into Hawk Harrelson. He can't stop with the accent and with the Hawkisms. Are you going to find yourself sitting in the booth tomorrow yelling mercy?
I don't know. I don't know if the circumstances will. I've thought about that, actually. I'm not sure if I'll be able to conjure up my Hawk imitation sitting next to the man. You know, you don't do your Scully sitting next to Scully. But if the situation presents itself, I might join in if we can put it on the board. Yes, together, as he's done with his partners all throughout his career, I might jump in on that. We're just going to have to feel it out. I've got stuff that I want to ask Hawk about. I mean, I don't want to get too far off the game because, you know, a division game for the White Sox tomorrow, and Cleveland's a lot of fun to talk about. I don't want to get too far away from it, but I kind of do. So we'll see where it goes.
I would fully encourage veering off. How did your friendship with Hawk start?
You know, I don't know. I think Hawk was probably made aware of the fact at some point, and I guess I probably told him at some point that I was a huge fan. And I do remember at one point early on at MLB Network, I had a screen. I mean, you know what? It wasn't even then. I think I was still working for the Padres, as a matter of fact. And I left there after the 08 season, and I had a Hawk screensaver on my little compact, tired, you know, $400 laptop. And I think he came in the booth to say hi, as he does. And I said, "Hey, Hawk, check this out." And I showed him my screensaver, and he was pretty pumped. It was the picture of him, like a cartoon picture of him wearing his cowboy hat from one of the media guides in, I forget the vintage. It was sometime in the 70s or early 80s. But anyway, I like the guy. I think he knows it. I've openly stumped for his candidacy for Cooperstown for the Ford C. Frick Award for a long, long time. It's one of the things, I don't get really aggravated about too many things in life, but that's one of the things that just chaps my rear end, that he's not in there yet, and that there are people in there in front of him that quite frankly couldn't hold his jock on the best day of their careers. So I'll keep stumping as long as it takes to get him in there, and hopefully it's soon. The fact that they cycle the ballot now, and every 3 years it's a different type of ballot for the Ford C. Frick Award, it hurts Hawk because he has to wait to get on the, I think it's the, they call it the club broadcaster,
right,
or the regional broadcaster ballot, which is poppycock. It hacks me off. And I honestly, it's like, I feel like it's like a movie scene. Do you remember the movie Diner?
Oh yeah.
Where the, this is
say
so random.
Words.
Where
the, say the words.
One of the, say the words. One of the characters was like hell bent to punch every kid that beat him up in fifth grade as an adult man. And he jumped the guy outside a movie theater, and that was the last kid that he had to settle the score with. I feel like I'm on this mission to track down every frick voter that feels negatively about Hawk and shake him up, beat him up, and make him vote the right way.
It's personal, right? That's how this works a lot of the time.
It kind of is, because, you know, I mean, when you're in it, and this is what I do. I don't take myself very seriously, but I take my work very seriously, and it's the same way for Hawk. Like, this guy has given more to the lexicon of baseball than anybody else in that building. He has. And the criticism of Hawk that he's a homer, I know that Hawk takes it as a compliment, as I would, by the way. It's ridiculous. He works for the White Sox. He's friendly with guys on the team. When you spend 180 days with guys together and you're paid by the team, you're not supposed to play it down the middle. We're not looking for this journalistic voice of integrity in our club play-by-play guy. He's the White Sox announcer. He wants them to win. He doesn't like when they lose, and he lets you know about it. And anybody that takes issue with that doesn't understand the business at all.
Right. If he's doing ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, he cannot show, you know, his love for one team and root for them. But like you said, he was excelled as a player and a cameo as a GM, and he has been the hometown announcer. He's not going to cheer for the Indians tomorrow. He's going to be rooting for the Pale Hose.
Exactly. And, you know, he can, as most of us who play it that way, and Hawk's very good at this, look, he respects guys on the other team. He respects the game. He doesn't poo-poo anybody. But he gets a little more excited when, you know, Yomer Sanchez goes deep as opposed to Jose Ramirez tomorrow, by way of example.
Hey, Matt, a lot of people who don't get it were upset when Jessica Mendoza was named to your booth. So I've got a two-part question. I think she's awesome.
So
I love your booth. So how do you think Jessica is doing, and who spends more time before the game putting makeup on, Jessica or A-Rod?
It's an excellent question. I'll take the second part of it first. Alex uses this weird sunblock. I don't know what the deal is, but he shows up every once in a while, and he's got this kind of Jack Gorshin glaze on him, this white sunblock. So the makeup artist has to remove all that from Alex to get his, you know, quote unquote TV makeup. But no, Jessica is, she wins that one. She takes a little bit more time. I think she's great and on a lot of levels. First of all, she's super easy to work with. She's one of the most likable people in or outside of baseball that you could ever come across. And that goes such a long way. And, you know, there are skeptics out there. I know there are people that don't like the female voice on a sporting event, but here's what I would say observationally to those people. I have watched Jess for these last few months and how she is received at the ballpark by some of the older guard uniformed personnel, managers, coaches, even players. And anybody that had met her previously or was spending time with her for the first time walks away from that not only impressed with her for her baseball acumen, but liking and respecting the way she takes her job seriously. We've all been around people, man or woman, that won't ask a real insightful question, and you can see the person being interviewed kind of, you know, respond politely, but kind of disengage a little bit. It's the equivalent of when, you know, you've got the manager scrum and there's all the reporters that are holding the mics, and somebody who's involved in baseball for the first time wants to ask a question and says, coach, what happened last night when you don't call the manager coach? And so the manager looks at that reporter and discounts him or her for the rest of the season. Anybody that deals with Jess has exactly the opposite reaction to her. And she gets a lot of insight and a lot of great information because she's willing to ask that sixth or seventh question, whether it's on the phone or in person, and she makes a lot of calls during the week to prepare for the games too, that a lot of us, quite frankly, don't have the patience for or the ability for. So she is awesome to work with. It's, you know, with Alex, who's never done it before, we were a work in progress, still are, And look, at the very end of the day, we have fun and we enjoy each other. So I hope that, at the very least, is what we can convey.
What's most interesting to me about your booth is that Alex was disliked by a large portion of baseball. But I feel like since he's become a broadcaster and even more so now sitting with you, like, people are taking to A-Rod. That's an interesting transformation as far as like just watching the game and the way he's received.
Yeah, quite a story, right? I mean, you talk about public redemption. I mean, I'll go even farther than disliked. I mean, he was persona non grata for a while there.
Yep.
When he was serving out his suspension and he was, he was making threats to the players' union. I mean, he was not in great public standing. But he's taken responsibility for all that, and I think that goes a long way. And, the lesson I think people can learn in redemption and second chances is that if you own it and you treat people well, you're gonna catch a break. And I think that's part of Alex's strategy. You know, he knows he messed up. He knows he made some choices that he'd like to have a do-over on. He's probably going to spend the rest of his career answering to that, and he's going to do it by winning people over kind of one listener, one viewer at a time. Yu Darvish notwithstanding, I think a lot of people like what he has to say on the air.
Yeah. Plus, he never gave a gift basket to the ladies like Jeter did.
Wouldn't you love to know if that was a real story? God,
me
I
too.
Love it, though. If that was real, I tip my cap.
I think it's awesome. What do you think about what Rick Hahn and Ricky Renteria have going over here with the White Sox?
Well, I would not be the first one to say it. They've done a great job collecting talent. We, the fans, just need to see that this is going to be the group that they win with. And, right now we're not quite sure. We're not quite sure what Lucas Giolito is going to look like in 2 years. We're not quite sure what Michael Kopech is going to look like in 2 years. I think everybody thought Yoan Moncada at one point was the consensus top talent in minor league baseball. They went out and got him. There are elements to his game that need to evolve. We'd all agree there's a lot of swing and miss there, but the talent just pops off the page. So it's just too soon to tell. It's just too soon to judge. But as far as the collection of talent that Rick Hahn has executed, awesome. Having spent a little bit of time with Rick Renteria in San Diego, I know what a personal touch he has with players, what a communicator he is, and there's little doubt that he's the right guy for this group, and hopefully they can all make it happen together in the next couple years. Because for the White Sox, I would put the White Sox in the same category as I would Boston, New York, the Cubs. The league is better when the White Sox are good, and hopefully we're getting back to that.
Matt, appreciate the time. Great to talk to you, and we're looking forward to hearing you tomorrow with Hawk, and we'll join you in any help with the Frick people, because Hawk deserves in there. Like, my favorite call for Hawk real fast, Aramis Ramirez of the Cubs hits a grand slam to make it 4-0 in a Cubs-Sox game. Hawk says nothing. And finally, it just is at three words, 4-0 Cubs. That's him. It's beautiful.
I would pay for one of those tomorrow. If I could be there to sit next to that and get one of those, and if Mark Wegner would have the plate tomorrow, which I don't believe he's on this crew, that would be a dream come true.
What you talking about, Wagner? All right, Matt, we're big fans, and we appreciate you visiting. And Major's got some more great stories about you we have to go listen to.
Yeah, tell them they're all not true. Thanks, guys.